The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 9. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. I don't know how many times I've enjoyed sitting around a campfire with others. My heart goes back to the Camp of the Three Fires up in the mountains in Northern California, where I spent plenty of time with my kids around the Camp of the Three Fires. It got its name after a while because the boys would like to build their own campfires. A lot of warmth, a lot of time, a lot of joy. When I was a kid, camping in the winter was a challenge, and boy, that fire felt good, even if the boots caught on fire. Of course, then it made it hard to camp the rest of the time with the fellow scouts. But fire, if unchecked, can be anything but enjoyable and life-reviving. In fact, fire can become all-consuming. Can't help but think about all the people in Northern California and Redding that were affected by the car fire. 1,070 homes destroyed, plus 500 other buildings, businesses. It's hard to imagine the kind of loss that people go through when the loss comes through fire. But this kind of fire that I speak of fails in comparison to the fire Jesus is speaking of today. The fires of hell that are unquenchable, the wrath of God against our sin. Our meditation this morning is titled, "Playing with Fire, Does Anyone Care?" You see, there's fire starting across our scriptures today. We're not used to thinking of sin as fire, but in the course of our daily life, there are all kinds of opportunities to fan the flames, to set some sparks, and then poof, we have a huge fire going in our hearts and minds, touching the lives of the people around us in all kinds of different ways. All of our scriptures point out playing with fire, giving into our desires, stirring up negative things so the whole congregation weeps and mourns, or becoming jealous of those who are sharing the word of God and saying, "That's not right." And that's just the first reading. And then poor Moses' heart, overwhelmed by all the fires he's trying to put out in the congregation. And then there's James. The sparks of self-serving desires, caring only for yourself, ripping people off around us, not being patient for God's will and ways in and among us, putting matters into our own hands. And that's just James. How many ways can you and I set off these sparks? And then there's a little smoke, and where there's smoke, there's fire, and after a while it can be all-consuming. How many ways can we set ablaze our relationships with the people around us and the things that we care about so much, only to hurt them instead of help them? And even in our gospel reading, we hear the disciples saying, "No, no, no, that's not right." And Jesus saying, "Wait a second. People doing things in my name is a good thing. It's not just exclusively to you that people can be blessed in my name." How many ways can we set ablaze our daily lives by playing with fire? The little stuff, and then it gets all consuming into the big stuff. Are we fire starters when we're supposed to be firefighters? I mean, certainly we don't want to be guilty of doing all those things, putting people's lives at risk with our sinful thoughts and actions, our sinful words. The challenge in your life and my life is, as much as we want to be firefighters, we can also be fire starters. But the good news for you and for me is what God did through His Son, Jesus, who went the way of the cross. Jesus, the ultimate fire swallower and fire quencher and firefighter and life restorer for all the ways that we have charred ourselves and the people around us. Jesus is serious about sin, and we hear it in our gospel reading. And it's not just about what He expects everyone around Him to do, and we have to take what His words are as hyperbole. We just know He's serious about sin. You're better off chopping this off, gouging that out, than going to hell where you'll burn forever. If you and I took His word seriously, we'd be a mess, and I'd have no brain, where all my problems start. The good news is that Jesus faced the firestorm of God's wrath in our place. Think about it this way. When Jesus came, He came to consume the wrath of God in total. All of it. He came to face all that we, by our sin, wickedness, and transgression, deserve. He came to consume it all. Think about His time in Gethsemane. When Jesus was going to the way of the cross, He knew what was happening. And before He was even arrested, He, in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed, "Father, take this cup from me." He was experiencing the wrath of God. Luke tells us that His sweat became like drops of blood. He was being consumed by the wrath of God. This was for our salvation, and this is the epic firestorm that could consume us that He would take in our place so that we would have and be protected from the fire of God's wrath. And as He was on the cross, experiencing the forsakenness of Almighty God, a calm and a peace was being prepared and given to you and to me, so that now, no matter how we see the challenges in our life, we have peace with God. And the fire of our failure is doused by God's love and forgiveness, by His amazing grace, so that we can be at peace. Jesus took the cup of God's wrath in full to take care of our sin in full, so that we can have peace with God. So that we can also understand that He, our risen and reigning Savior, is caring for us. He is taking care of us in our lives that are full of opportunities to be firefighters, to care for those around us, and to receive help from those around us. How did James say it? Pray for one another. Confess your sins to one another so that we can share the forgiveness of Jesus with one another and be at peace with one another. You know, trust in Jesus and ask for help in your life of ministry and mission. You know, our opportunity is to share the name of Jesus with each other, to bless each other in God's name. While this is kind of iconic, your whole life is an opportunity of ministry. Your whole life is an opportunity of mission. And as I said earlier, your words and your actions can be received by people differently. To some, they're received as ministry. You just being a testimony of the living Christ in your life. To others who do not yet know who Jesus is, your words, your actions are an example of mission. You are showing those who do not yet know who Jesus is or what he does, what it means to be a testimony to the risen and living Christ. Your whole life, from the moment you get up to the time you go to get bed, is an opportunity to bless others in Jesus' name. We call it mission and ministry. And you can bless your family when you see them. You can bless them before they go. You can pray with them. You can pray for them. We call that ministry. Ministry is spending time figuring out what to do with $1.3 million, although we took care of some of it pretty quick. Our meetings where we're getting together is a chance to minister to each other, not just spend money. It's about learning to listen to and learn with and grow together on who and what we are. It's not just a trip to the spiritual mall. It's so much more. It's about you and it's about me. And it's about what God has placed upon us to work on together as his family called St. Paul. We call that ministry. As I said earlier, meetings are a chance to minister to each other. How often do you think about meetings that way? Journey to Christmas, an opportunity to do some ministry. Long before the dates come, in all kinds of different ways, even now, and on the day of, minister to each other. I sure hope we won't just crab at each other. Although ministry can be kind of crabby activity. Think of Moses. His ministry was going so well, he just wanted God to kill him. I've had it. I can't do it. I didn't conceive all these people. I can't bear all these people like a nursing mother. I mean, Moses is having a bad ministry day. Ministry's hard work. I mean, Moses was to the point where he saw how wretched he was trying to care for God's congregation. He just wanted God to kill him. That happens in parenting. Minister anyway. That happens in marriage. Minister anyway. It happens when you're a leader on a board in a congregation. Minister anyway. But be honest with God. But when he doesn't take your life, keep reporting for duty. That's what ministry is. It's trying to serve where it makes sense so that you don't get hurt. And it's not easy. I've been thinking a lot about one of the various and sundry challenges I had when my firstborn was little. And I realized, like for the first time, experientially, not just academically, that parents can kill their kids. Blew me away. I thought, wow, boy, this is intense. I didn't do it. But it gave me that realization that, boy, it's hard work to care for other people. Like, I didn't get it before. No, I got it. I just didn't realize it as a parent. How many ways are you learning things perhaps for the first time because you've never had that ministry opportunity before? Ask the Lord for help. Spend time together as a congregation working through things. We have some Bible studies where we can do that. We have a Bible study between services that's trying to be geared in such a way that we can understand how that works for us together. Be a part of it when you can. You know, sometimes ministry gets canceled. Spy's not going to go to the lake. And there's a lot of ministry that can happen at the lake. I was looking forward to some myself. I may still go fishing. I don't know. Ministry happens when people's lives get changed and they hardly know what to do. I mean, ministry happens always in real time. Perhaps when you're making plans for your ideal ministry. It happens with the things where you need to speak the name of Jesus or say a prayer for or pray with. In a little while, you'll have an opportunity to receive some ministry from an elder and a Stephen minister. You can pray and have them pray for you and pray with them. But this is the truth. Most of your ministry takes place apart from us as a congregation in your daily life as the Holy Spirit guides you through the day. So thank you for your ministry. Ministry, helping people with all the fires that threaten them. Helping them by blessing them with the name of Jesus so that the fires go out. Thank you for your ministry to me. And with me. And together. So how many little fires will be started today among us? Aren't you glad God cares and has the firefighter always there for us? How many opportunities will we have to put some out, blessing others with the name of Jesus? That's what it's about. And while our world plays with fire without a care, we care because we're a part of God's cure to it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.